Well, no doubt, some of you have spent the last few weeks looking for the perfect gift for people that you care about. That's a cool thing. I want to tell you about a time where I found the perfect gift for me. And in my family, when I was a kid, there was only one place you could find the perfect gift, and it was not at the mall. It was not a big box store. There was no such thing as Amazon.com. Where did you find the perfect gift? Aw, you're my peeps. Thank you. Yep, it was Sears catalog. I mean, think about what they call it. It was the Christmas wish book. Doesn't that sound like the right place to find the perfect gift? The Christmas wish book. Why would you go anywhere else? So that's where I went. Now, this particular Christmas, because it was 1980-something. 1986. This was not the catalog I looked at. It was as close as I could come. I had to flip by some things that looked pretty good. I went by things like the Rubik's Cube. You got to remember, in the 80s, this was brand new technology. Went past the Rubik's Cube. I went past the Stretch Armstrong. Anyone have a Stretch Armstrong as a kid? Thank you. Thank you. I went past the Atari games. I've arranged these in order of pain as to how painful it was to go past them. I loved my Atari, and I went past the Atari games. I even went past my G.I. Joe action figures. Action figures, not dolls, people. Just making that clear. I even went past. Yes, see, those of you who know me well know how painful this is. I went past the Star Wars toys. The most painful one that I went past, though, was the Lego. I passed up even Lego that year for the perfect gift. I knew that this gift, if I could get this gift, it would change my life forever. I sent some doubters out there. It was a Spider-Man action set. Now, in case you're thinking, oh man, there's way better gifts, let me describe this gift to you, okay? This Spider-Man action set came with different pieces. The first one was a walkie-talkie. There were no cell phones back then. A walkie-talkie was major technology. I didn't know who I was going to talk to on this walkie-talkie. I didn't care. All I knew is I would have a walkie-talkie. And it makes sense that Spider-Man would have a walkie-talkie. He's got to call the cops when he catches a bad guy, right? Of course. Another thing that this Spider-Man action set came with was a watch. Now, it would make sense that Spider-Man would have a watch because he needs to know when to get his pictures to J. Jonah Jameson down at the Daily Bugle, right? Of course, he would have a watch. It came with a set of handcuffs. And what little boy doesn't need a set of handcuffs? I mean, you're catching bad guys, right? You need a set of handcuffs. And all of this you could put in this utility belt that it came with. See, I'm glad you appreciate this gift. But all of that was nothing. All of that was nothing compared to the thing that it promised it came with. In big, bold letters, it said, real webbing. Now, this was the clincher, you see, because if I had real webbing, it would change the balance of power in my family so that my older brother, who was born 3 years older than me, to the day, I had to share a birthday. Aww. Yeah, thank you. If I had real webbing, think about what that would mean. I would no longer be the underdog. I would be the overdog. This was going to change everything. Real. webbing. I couldn't wait. So I told my mom, I said, I would like, beyond all those other things, I want the Spider-Man action set. And so I waited. It was weeks back then, weeks for this thing to come in. Finally, on Christmas morning, we got to open our presents. That's right, we opened our presents on Christmas morning. None of this stuff about Christmas Eve. I don't know. My family was hardcore Christmas. You waited. And I left their present to the end because I knew it would be the best. And when I opened it up, there it was. My Spider-Man action set. And I tore open the package and I looked at every piece. And my emotions went from great anticipation to bewilderment to terrible disappointment. The walkie-talkie was just a piece of molded plastic. The only moving part on it was a little antenna that went up and down, and I quickly bent that out of shape so it wouldn't go back down anymore. It's useless. The watch wasn't even a real watch. It was in the shape of a watch. It had a sticker on the face. No hands. The handcuffs was this cheap, flimsy plastic. You couldn't restrain anything with this. And the utility belt was this hard yellow plastic I could barely get around my waist. And it occurred to me somewhere along the line that I don't ever recall Spider-Man actually wearing this bright yellow plastic belt. But all of that, like I said, was nothing. Nothing. As long as there was, did you remember? Real webbing. Real webbing. And I was expecting there to be some kind of device in there that I could fix to each arm, that all I had to do is like squeeze my hands just like Spider-Man and dole out vengeance upon my enemies, a.k.a. Big Brother, and you know, and really get them this time. And I looked, and I looked. What I found instead was about an 8-inch rubberized web that would probably be better used to put hot pots on than for me to get vengeance upon my enemies, a.k.a. Big Brother. I mean, what was I supposed to do with it? Throw it at them and hope it hits them in the eye? Useless. Completely useless. I was so disappointed in this gift. Have you ever been disappointed in a gift? Christmas, birthday, anniversary, Valentine's Day, experience. If you've ever been disappointed with a gift you've gotten, I know what you were feeling. I felt it that day. It was a huge letdown. This brings us to gift giving as a whole. And you see, we human beings, we give each other gifts. And did you know that there's two rules that come with gift giving? We don't often speak of these rules. We don't write them down. But our gifts come with a certain understanding of how gifts work. The two rules are this. Number one, when you give someone a gift, you no longer have a say in how that gift is going to be used. If the person wants to take that gift back to the store, that's their prerogative. If they want to smash it with a hammer, they can do that. If they want to take it out behind the house and blow it up with fireworks, they can do that. If they want to use it properly, well, I guess, sure, okay, you can do that. We have no longer any say in how that gift is used, correct? This is just an understanding we have. Second rule is we give up ownership completely of that gift. It's related to the first. But when we give someone a gift, we cannot go back to them the next day or the next week or a year down the road and say, by the way, that's still mine. I want it back now. Right? You can't do that. Right? So we have this understanding. There's these two rules. And I want you to keep these two rules in mind as we continue to talk about gifts, because we're going to talk about gifts that God gives us, or that we feel God has given us. Now, I understand in this room, there will be several different kinds of people. Some of us in this room believe that God gives us gifts. Others of us are not too sure that there is a God, not too sure about the gifts, and some of us are quite convinced there is no God, and so there are no gifts. But for those of us who do believe God gives gifts, we may say things like, gifts include things like our spouse, or our kids, or perhaps our job, or a car, or a house. These are gifts from God. Maybe we have bigger picture things like our freedom or our health. And we say, these are gifts from God. Maybe so. But I came across a verse that talks about the gifts that God gives, and it kind of blew my mind a little bit. It went something like this. It's found in the book of James. Now, before I get to it, a little bit on James, in case you're not familiar with James. James was the half-brother of Jesus. Can you imagine growing up in the same house as Jesus? Talk about living in someone's shadow, right? So, and it says in the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life that his family didn't even believe in him. In fact, they thought he was a little... And if I could whistle better, that would have been better. But after Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead, his family changed their mind. James was one of them. And James not only changed his mind about his brother Jesus, he became a leader in the church. And he wrote a letter to the church. And in this letter, and this is to the church, everyone, in the first few verses of this letter, he wrote about the gifts that God gives us. And this is what he said. He said, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Now, it's the first part that I really want to focus in on. Every good and perfect gift. God gives a certain category of gifts that you cannot find anywhere else. Only God gives good and perfect gifts. Now, we often talk in terms of giving each other good and perfect gifts. I mean, we give each other good gifts, I hope. They're not bad gifts. They're good gifts. And if you're really lucky, you might think that someone gave you the perfect gift. But these words, as they were originally written, mean something a little bit different than how we use them in English. The word good means profitable, beneficial, useful. So when we talk about the gifts that God gives us, things like our spouse, our kids, our job, that sort of thing, those are useful gifts. Those are good and beneficial gifts, right? Right. So no problem. If you want to call those gifts from God, awesome, no problem. It's the second word. It's that second word that was the game changer for me. It surprised me when I found out what that word actually means. Because that word means complete, fully accomplished, without shortcoming. In short, that word means it is a gift that completes you. Think about that. It is a gift that completes you. And that brings us to Christmas. Because Jesus is a good gift and a perfect gift. Let me explain. Jesus is a good gift because he answers the question that many of us in this room have probably asked ourselves 1,000 times, including the person speaking to you. Is there really a God? Have you ever asked yourself that question? I have. I still do sometimes. And I have to go back to the person of Jesus, because I can only imagine in the time of Jesus, they hadn't even heard from God in hundreds of years. Nothing. And then all of a sudden, things start to change. And the answer to the question, is there a God? Yes, there he is. God showed up and said, I do exist, I do care, I am involved. So Jesus was a good gift. But he was also the perfect gift. Because through Jesus, his death on the cross, his resurrection, he became a gift that allowed us relationship with the Father. It is this relationship with the Father that is the ultimate perfect gift. Because it is this relationship that completes us as relational beings. We are designed to need a relationship with God. And he couldn't have designed it any other way, because he is the source of everything good. Inside of each one of us, just reflect on this for a moment. Don't you really want to be loved? I mean, isn't that what we're all searching for? Someone to love us? And it says in the Bible that God, and this is the kicker, God knows everything about you. He knows everything you've done. Every thought you've thunk, every word you've said, he knows. There are no secrets. He knows everything about you. And yet, God loves you completely like no one else could. And that's why Jesus is the perfect gift. In him, we have this sense of belonging, this sense of purpose, this sense of hope, this sense of a future. Love. Now, do you remember the two rules? Do you remember the two rules about gifts that we talked about? See, some of us in this room are deeply disappointed in God. And there's a reason for that. It's because we have thought God follows the same rules of gift giving that human beings do. And it works like this. Remember I said the first gift was accountability. So when God offers himself in a relationship, if we think he gives the way human beings do, then we think, oh, God's given us himself, and we can do with that whatever we want. Even though he has said there are boundaries in this relationship. There are ways that I want you to treat other people, yourself, and him. There are parameters around this relationship. He said, and if you want a relationship with me, you have to respect my boundaries. And by the way, every healthy relationship has boundaries. Right? Yeah. God is no different. So it works like this. When we think that God gives gifts the way human beings do, and we treat his boundaries with disrespect, all of a sudden we marvel at the fact that God seems so very distant. And we could even feel abandoned by God. If you've ever felt distant from God or abandoned by God, could it be that perhaps you're not respecting God's boundaries? That you still think that God gives the gift of relationship the way we give each other Star Wars toys? The second one, remember, what was the second rule? It's about ownership, right? And if we think that God hands himself over to us, that means that he works for us. And many people do think God works for them in this way. If God works for us, God should give me whatever I ask for. And we often think that's the way God should work, because we think God gives gifts the same way humans do, you see? And so God should give me healthy children. And a long life, and a great job, and a spouse that doesn't give me any trouble, and kids who get straight A's, and on and on and on and on. And then when that doesn't happen, we think, well, I'm very disappointed in this gift. This didn't turn out the way I expected at all. God, you're supposed to work for me, because you give gifts the same way human beings give gifts. God does not give gifts the same way human beings give gifts. There's a big difference between relationships and giving each other things. And so when we talk about the gifts that God gives, you know, whether it's career or marriage or parents or friends, they may be good gifts, but they do not complete us. If we thought that they complete us, then all single people are incomplete. See? Or childless people are incomplete. Jobless people are incomplete. These are not gifts that complete us. Only a relationship with God completes us. Because that's the way we are designed. Now here's the good news. God has been pursuing you with this gift since you were born. He's been offering this gift to each one of you. He wants you to come closer. He wants you to know Him. And maybe tonight, up to this point, you've been expecting God to behave in a way that human beings do in this gift. That I can not respect your boundaries. And now, God, you work for me. And in fact, when it comes to boundaries, it says, instead, we are to repent from our sins. Turn away from our sins. And when it comes to ownership, it's actually us who serves Him, not the other way around. This gift of relationship is available to all. And one of the cool things that I like is in the Bible, when it talks about heaven, it doesn't talk in terms of you and I moving around on nice puffy white clouds, playing harps, bored out of our minds for eternity. This is good news to all of us. It talks in terms of kingdom. And in this kingdom, the king is present. He's there. He offers relationship. The best part about heaven is that God is there and we get to have a relationship with Him. That's the beautiful thing. And Christmas opened the door to that good and perfect gift. And if you tonight have not received that good and perfect gift, you can. Right where you sit, right here tonight, this could be the night for you. Turn away from your sin and say, God, you lead me. You don't work for me, I'm working for you. I want this relationship. I want that good and perfect completing gift. Good and perfect gifts are not found in Sears catalog. I don't even think you can get Sears catalog anymore. They are not found in a mall, and they are not found in any other human. Because there's only one gift that is both good and perfect. And that is a relationship with God. And only then will you be truly complete. Going to ask our ushers to come forward at this time. And they're going to light the Christ candle. I'm going to ask our music team to come on up at the same time. They're going to light the Christ candle. And the Christ candle is symbolic not only of that first Christmas night, but it reminds us that Christ is coming back. Now, just a little tip on lighting candles. Those who are lighting the candle, hold your candle straight up. If it's lit, hold it straight up so it doesn't drip, and then you can keep lighting. But this light is going to spread through this whole auditorium. In the same way that the light of Christ spread throughout the Mediterranean and into Europe and into Asia and into Africa, and then to the Americas, all around the world, this light is shining, this light of Christ. And this light can be yours tonight. This can be your night. Let's sing. Take a look around. What a beautiful sight. That good and perfect gift, the message of that good and perfect gift started in Jerusalem and spread all over the world just as it spread in here, one person to another, to another, to another. My hope is that that message, if it hasn't reached you yet, will have reached you tonight. On your way out are some books. You might have some more questions about Christmas. There are some books written just about Christmas. In case you have some questions, you can grab one of those on the way out. Beyond that, it is my hope that you have a wonderful and meaningful Christmas as you reflect upon the good and perfect gift. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are our good and perfect gift. To know you is to be fully alive. To know you is to be complete. And I pray for all those in this room who do not yet know you, Lord, that you would speak to them now. You would speak to them tonight. That they would turn away from their sin. And they would follow you. Lord, for all the people in this room, may you allow them the privilege of knowing you more in this holiday season, more than they've ever known you. May they sense your presence and your power this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. You may blow out your candles now. Have a great Christmas, everyone.